I guess.
A very different looking opportunity from your previous Daytona 500 experience. I mean, it came together kind of late in the game. How grateful are you, and kind of what's been the vibe that you've been getting prepared for this week?
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely last minute. Very grateful that that I'm still on the list of drivers that if somebody runs into an issue, I'm one of the guys people call and says, hey, if we ran into an issue, we need a driver. So definitely last minute, but really, really excited to be down here with Garage 66 and attempting to make the Daytona 500, my second ever attempt. And hopefully we can make it in this time. My first time didn't go too well for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are you taking a kind of a similar approach of building rapport with the Cup guys to help you out for
Sunday? I have a good relationship with a good bit of the drivers in this garage, and I feel like definitely a lot of people would help me, but at the end of the day, this is a very selfish sport, and you've got to go out. Yes, you do need help, and you need drafting partners, but at the end of the day, there's only one winner, and everybody is out to better themselves for their team. So with that being said, another portion that goes into that is making sure that you're working with a fast car. So as long as, you know, our number 66 QuickTie Products Ford Mustang is quick, I'm definitely confident that we'll have some people helping us out. Yeah. I mean, Garage 66 is definitely not that established of a race team compared to a Front Row Motorsports or a RFK or a Penske or anything like that. So they're definitely way, way behind the eight ball in the sense of those powerhouse organizations. But we're hungry and we're ready to go out here and attempt the Daytona 500. And we put all our eggs in this basket, and hopefully we can make it in. Mm-hmm. Yep. They've been huge. Just the Harville, he's one of the owners of QuickTie. He's been one of the most amazing people that I've ever met in my life. Anytime that I've, you know, had something go on, he's one of the first people to call me. He's like, what can I do to help with anything in life? So it's just well-rounded group, well-rounded company, great product, and I couldn't be more grateful for this partnership that I've had for, Lord, over 10 years now. It's been a lot longer than just the Xfinity series and the truck series. So super grateful to still have them, and looking forward to hopefully getting them in the Daytona 500. Not speeding on pit road is in my control. That's about the only thing, to be honest with you. There's not a lot that's in your control, honestly, so. Yeah, it's crazy. Hopefully we can go out there and lock ourselves in on speed tonight and not have to worry about racing our way in the duels tomorrow. But if not, then look forward to racing my guts out and trying to make it in the race.
What was the takeaway you got from logging laps this board? There's some that favor the track and others don't really care for it just because it's just single lap runs, but also trying to get a reasonable lap that where it reflects it without any of the drafting.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely weren't anything impressive on single car speeds by any means. I know we ended up being fourth in practice or something like that, but that was because I ended up picking up the draft and just kind of getting a feel for if our car could draft and suck up to other cars and whatnot, and I felt like it did. So I'm confident in that, but our single car speed, we definitely got a lot of work to do if we're wanting to bank in on qualifying in on time. Everybody going into this weekend said they'd be disappointed if we didn't make it in on time, including myself, just knowing what's went into this car, how many hours went into this car, fluffing and buffing, and how much resources have went into this car. We've got a great engine with Yates, got a great it looks great. So we were definitely looking to make it in on speed tonight and be, honestly, top 15, top 10 is kind of what we expected. So definitely to be that slow in practice was a gut punch. So I hope we can make some changes so we can get back to that expectation that we kind of set for everybody going into this deal. No, we're kind of on our own island. But Carl's got a great, he's got some good friends and he's got some good resources up his sleeve that was able to make this piece to where all of us were kind of confident enough, like, oh, we should be able to make it in on speed.
In addition to this, obviously, you've got the truck race Friday night. You've got your full-time opportunity with Front Row in that series this year. What are you looking forward to being able to team up with them, team up with Lane, and really have what I think is a championship opportunity?
Yeah, no, for sure. Man, the first thing I said when I walked in that shop was, I thought my stuff at KBM was really nice. Man, these guys are on a different playing field, so... no, I'm really excited to be racing for Bob Jenkins and Jerry Freeze at Front Row Motorsports. We've had talks in the past about me coming to Front Row and just never really worked out. And for it to finally, you know, circle back and this one worked out, it was really cool. I love Bob to death. He's a great guy, very low-key owner, but loves this sport. And he's just a very well-rounded guy. So happy to know when I go to the racetrack that I'm racing for somebody of that nature as my team owner. And also got some great partners with Long John Silver's, Quick Tie Products, and Wheelers. Two of my partners has been there for forever now. Wheelers we picked up last year. Quick Tie we mentioned earlier in the interview. It's been with me for 10 years at least. And now Long John Silver. So really looking forward to the season and hopefully picking up a few wins. I hope so. That was my mindset. That was my mindset going to Gibbs, and that was my mindset going to here. So God has a mysterious way of working things, and I don't question it. But, yeah, I'm definitely not, I would say, proud that I've been team hopping and all that. But, yeah, no, hopefully this is my home for a bit. Yeah, I mean, it was simple. It was just, hey, this fell through. Mike Wallace ain't going to be approved. We need a driver. Where are you at? And I was like, he reached out to me about doing this deal a while back. And with how late my deal came together at Front Row, we didn't have a team. The team that you're going to see on the 38 truck this whole season, we put together 4 weeks ago maybe. So not long ago at all. So I was in the process of trying to hire people, find a crew chief, and putting all those puzzle pieces together on this all offseason. So I told him, I was like, man, it's a great opportunity, yeah, but I've got to focus on my full-time gig here. We got to find a crew chief. We got to find we're in a bad deal over here. So yeah, the time just worked out to where it was like, okay, I can actually venture this now, and because we're starting to get on our feet over here in the 38 group on the truck side. And, yeah.
How nerve-wracking is it to channel all that challenges to keep yourself laser focused, especially because there was that one point in November that the future of your career was at odds.
Yeah, and it definitely was. But at the end of the day, God has a plan for each and every person here on earth. And I was confident that his plans for me in this industry and racing and NASCAR wasn't over yet. And I was definitely confident in that. But there's still always that little bit of uncertainty of what if that every human has because it's human nature. But at the end of the day, pressure is a privilege to have, and I'm privileged to be able to have the pressure to be, you know, having to put together a truck team and also, you know, be a bigger part of just being a driver at Front Row Motorsports. It doesn't make me nervous. We all expected to try to be able to make it in on time, but at the end of the day, I still kind of had the mindset of we're going to have to race our way in. So, does it hurt my chances maybe? Yeah, probably. Am I confident that if we dot our I's and cross our T's in the duel, can we make it in? I think we have a chance. What's up, buddy?
How are you?
Good, you? So I don't have to talk into this right now?
Yeah, you can.
Okay.
Glad to see you, though. I'm excited for you, so, especially. But during all that, right, so there was some chatter that you wanted some opportunity to do some opportunity this year. Is that gone by the wayside, or is there still opportunity?
I definitely would love to do some Xfinity racing. At the end of the day, it still costs money to do, and I don't have a ton of channeling with a bunch of sponsorships that's willing to do that or that can do that. All of our eggs are in this truck basket, and that's kind of where they're at. But in any Xfinity team that, you know, would have me, I would definitely be open to having conversations with them.
I was curious when you mentioned that you were involved in the hiring of people on your truck series.
Mm-hmm.
So how in-depth will you be with this program in 2025, knowing, you know, what you're trying to accomplish?
I mean, I was there for every interview. I was the one that put the list together of people we were going to hire, or at least interview. I was involved as you could possibly think. So, which for me, I've never experienced this. This was definitely a life. It was definitely something that was new for me. It's more of a just been a plug and play deal for me. Like, hey, we're gonna plug you in here. This is your team. This is the spotter we have. Do you want somebody else? And then go. This deal was Jerry called me up. I think it was like December 18. He's like, hey, buddy, we're gonna go truck racing. I was like, oh, cool. He's like, yeah, but you're going to have to help me hire all these people. So, you're going to have to help me with that. And I was like, are you telling me I'm going to have to hire my whole truck group? He's like, well, yeah. And I was like, okay. And I get off the phone, looked at my wife. I was like, I just got told, all right, I'm racing a truck, but I'm also going to have to hire these guys too. I was like, I'm stressed out, but that's kind of cool. There's not many drivers that's been in a situation where they've probably hired out their entire group. So, for me, this group is extra special because of that. So, I'm personally more invested into this 38 team and this 38 group because of that. And, really looking forward to, seeing how we do. We got two older guys. My crew chief's kind of sort of older, John Leonard. And then my truck chief's definitely been around the block for a while. Chris Shooty. But everybody after... No, not Showalter. That was my truck chief at KBA. But no, he was at Nice last year. He was at Hattori when Austin was there. But after the truck chief from down, they're all my age. And they're young. They're hungry. Haven't really won any races. Dying to learn. Dying for that first win. And those are all really good recipes, especially having my truck chief and crew chief already have a history together, work really well together. And they still feel like they got a chip on their shoulder, something to prove. So they've been working their guts out, fluffing them everything on that truck to make the most speed out of it, because they want to go out and sit on the pole. That's what they want to do, and that's great. And from the engineer level all the way down, it's, like I said, young guys, and they've got great mentors with my truck chief and crew chief to learn from. So I think we've got, you know, I think we're going to have some hiccups at the start of the season. I hope not, but the reality of it is, with a new team and putting a group together like this, you're going to have it. So I'm expecting that, but by, you know, quarter to halfway through the season, we should be firing on all eight cylinders and be pushing out these results that I expect us to be able to do. I mean, it's not ideal. It's definitely not ideal. Everywhere I've went, I went to college, I signed a multi-year deal and was out after the year one, which that was my choice. Left there, pursued a better opportunity at JGR, and obviously, as any driver would, wanted to be there for a long time, and I'm not there. But what's unique with this deal is there's been multiple times me and Bob Jenkins has had conversations about coming over and racing at Front Row, and just every time we have, I was close to being like, yeah, let's do it, but there was never anything completely concrete there that I was like, that's what I should do. And, you know, they put together a deal for me this time that was like, I think it's pretty apparent this is what I need to do here. So I'm really excited to be at Front Row. I would love to, you know, finally settle down and be somewhere where I could build and grow and build a team around me and, you know, grow as a race car driver and as a person and an athlete. But to summarize what your question was, how has the last few years been? I've met a lot of amazing people in this garage, made a lot of friendships, learned a lot about the, you know, I've learned a lot from just a lot of different people. And do I regret kind of how that path that God's taken me down then? Not at all, because I've met so many amazing people that I've developed such a deeper friendship and relationship with, and learned so much that I probably wouldn't be who I am or where I am today without that path either, though. So. Yeah, it was like December 18th when he called me. I signed my Front Row deal, I want to say right after Phoenix, November, somewhere in November, so it was still really late.
So, you know, you mentioned, like, on TV, NBC, mm-hmm. or CW, how,
yep.
you know, frustrated you were, how yep. close you were to not racing, so how realistically close were you to not having
Yeah, no, I mean, the front row talks were going on since August, but it was never concrete enough to be confident to where I was like, I'm going to have a job, obviously, which is why I was frustrated. So, yes, it was very real. And I'm not going to lie, there was a point where I was about to just tap in and say, you know what, I've got two kids, I've got a wife, and, you know, this is amazing that God's blessed me with this talent to be able to race at this level and be good at it. But, man, this isn't going to be my life. My life is this family that I have here, and this is consuming so much of my time and my stress and just all the mental that was taking on me. That I was so close just to be like, it's fine, it's time. I'm just going to go work for my dad and learn that business, and when he's done, take it over. And I've been completely fine doing that, and probably still do that one day. But I've always said, no matter what, I will not stop racing until the good Lord tells me and gives me that sign that it's time for me to stop. And he never gave me that sign through it. Definitely had struggles, definitely had mental tolls where I was just wanting to tap out and say, all right, I'm done. Just want to, whatever, right? But here we are, attempting the Daytona 500, my second ever time. Fifth season in NASCAR on the road, and couldn't be more excited.
Do you see a path where you can get back to where you were? Not necessarily with the same teams or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I
feel like, and you tell me if I have or not, I've established who I am and what I'm capable of doing, whether it's in the truck garage, whether it's in the Xfinity garage. I haven't really done much cup stuff, but my few cup starts, it's got good reads, right? So I feel like I've established who I am and what I'm worth and what I can do. But at the end of the day, it still comes down to the money factor. And the reality of it is there's a lot of guys in this garage that can bring a lot of money with them. And I'm not one of those guys. Like, I just can't bring a pile of cash with me every single year. It's a struggle to get to the numbers that these teams are expecting these drivers to get to every single year. And that's the reality of where the sport is right now. So it's unfortunate, sucks, and there's probably a lot of talent that we'll never hear from because of the way that is. Luckily, I'm still here, though. So
how hard is it to get into the sport now?
It's pretty hard. It's really hard, really hard.
I mean, would you tell a young driver to pursue a dream like this? I mean, I know somebody that sold everything they own, moved to Charlotte, North Carolina, and they're trying to get a ride.
I mean, it's all situation dependent. If you come from a small town and you're just got raw talent and it's just a well-rounded, really good race car driver, there's still a few people out there that'll take that chance on you. But finding those few people to take that chance on you and pick up that bill and, you know, back you and believe in you and push you all the way to the Cup Series, it's like finding a needle in a haystack nowadays, to be honest with you. So it's just with how this sport is right now, for whatever reason. I'm not a businessman. I don't know exactly why or how it is this way, but that's the way it is. So it's all situation dependent. There's some guys out there that, you know, have family businesses that bring in a lot of cash flow, and they can use this, whether it's a tax write-off or there's more B2B that could be done with this industry that actually makes their business stronger because they're in this industry. But for me personally, I don't really have a lot of that. My QuickTie products has been with me for such a long time. That's a strict B2B deal. You know, my family, we have a little family business, and we do framework, and we do a B2B deal with QuickTie, and that's what helps pay the bills. So.
Did you ever take out a $2 million business loan?
Not a chance. Not a chance. Yeah, there's not a chance. There's two. I've got a wife and two kids to take care of, and that would be very irresponsible of me.
Not a lot, but there's a handful of drivers now that have done that.
Yeah, and I tip of the cap for it working. If it's worked out for them, I'm so happy it did, because if it doesn't work out, that's where there's probably a lot of trouble. $2 million loan, that if it don't work out for you, that's a lot of money to pay back.
You're still going to be home 12 of us in
2025. Yeah.
So, are you going to be home 12 more weekends?
Am I? Are you asking if I'm going to? Or you're just telling me I will? Yeah, I got you. I got you. Yep.
Mm-hmm. 12 more weekends that you're at home.
Mm-hmm.
How important is that for the family dynamic?
It's definitely important. I mean, it's rough on my wife and my family to travel to some of these races sometimes, just because the natural beauty of, I've got a 2-year-old and a 1-year-old, and it's a lot on two kids and just the family to be coming out to these deals, getting on airplanes and car seats, all that stuff. Like, it's rough. So, I mean, it's cool, but for me, I'm young, 22 years old. My goal is to get into a competitive cup ride one day, and I definitely wouldn't be upset if I had however many races the Cup Series is, 36 or whatever. I wouldn't be upset if I was in that boat either, though.
It's rough on me and him getting recurrent races every week.
Yeah.
It's expensive.
Thank you
for your time. Sean.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, if anybody wants to sponsor the media, let us know.
Yeah, it's funny. That's kind of a tricky question. Would